Chapter 1. Ever since the letter had arrived from Miss Pimms, Hillary had spent more and more time talking to the gargoyle. Her parents disapproved, she knew perfectly well, but she much preferred the gargoyle's company to theirs. Hillary and the gargoyle did not always see eye to eye, but she found his opinion of finishing school to be thoroughly refreshing.
"A bathing cap!"
said the gargoyle as Hillary packed the clothing from Miss Pimms in the gold-plated travelling trunk her mother had dragged out from some attic or another.
"No self-respecting pirate would be caught dead in a bathing cap!"
"I know," said Hillary, "and look what Mother's done to it!" She held up the bathing cap so the gargoyle could see her name embroidered in golden thread around the edge. "She says it's fashionable."
"Fashion?" said the gargoyle. "Pirates don't care about fashion. Although," he added after a moment's thought, "I've always wanted one of those pointy black hats. You know, the kind with a feather coming out of the top."
Hillary closed her trunk and climbed on top of it to reach the gargoyle, who was carved into the stonework over her bedroom door. Before he could protest, she draped the embroidered bathing cap, very fashionably, she thought, over his stone ears. "But you're not a pirate," she reminded him, "and I have a horrible feeling that I won't get to be one either."
"Don't say that."
The gargoyle squirmed and wiggled his ears, but couldn't manage to free himself from the bathing cap.
"Just because that dumb one-legged whoever said, 'Could you get this thing off me?'" The gargoyle sighed. "I wish I had hands."
"Oh, all right," said Hillary, "but you do look awfully dashing." She plucked the bathing cap from the gargoyle's ears and tossed it onto her bed, where it landed on top of the 7 white eyelet nightgowns and 20 pairs of grey stockings her mother had picked up in town that morning. "You're lucky, gargoyle. No one can make you do anything you don't want to do."
"Ha!" said the gargoyle. "And I suppose you think protecting Westfield House is all sunshine and spider legs? Living on a wall for 200 years isn't all it's cracked up to be, you know. How would you like it if people kept leaping up to grab your snout and ordering you to protect them?"
Hillary had to admit that she wouldn't like it one bit. "I suppose neither of us likes being ordered about," she said. "At least Father hasn't ordered you off to finishing school."
"And he'd better not try," the gargoyle said darkly. "I'd bite him."
Hillary's father was an admiral in the Augusta Royal Navy, which meant, as far as Hillary could tell, that he was required to eat every Sunday dinner with the Queen and spend the rest of his time in his study at Westfield House, tossing out sharp and hurried orders at any captains or commodores who happened to be visiting. Even though he hardly ever went to sea anymore, Hillary saw her father rarely and spoke to him even less. Half of the time, when Hillary was dressed in old uniforms handed down from former naval apprentices, her father would mistake her for a staff member and urge her to
"fetch me the Northlands file," or "polish that sextant and be quick about it."
The other half of the time, when someone had been nimble enough to lace Hillary into a dress, her father would kiss her on the forehead and say,
"Run along and be a good little girl."
Hillary intended to be a great many things, and a good little girl was not one of them, but she had not quite worked up the courage to tell this to Admiral Westfield. Hillary's room was practically bare now. Most of her things had been packed in the golden trunk or sent off to Miss Pimms by train, as Hillary herself would be the next morning. She was not looking forward to the journey. 6 hours in a private compartment with a governess, she said to the gargoyle as she folded the dancing sheep cardigans. And I'm sure Miss Grayson will make me do lessons the entire time. And she'll pack those little sandwiches without crusts that young ladies are supposed to eat. And she won't let me look out the window because young ladies aren't supposed to smudge the glass.
Yes, yes, that's all very sad, said the gargoyle. Little sandwiches, etc. But let's focus on the real tragedy here.
The VNHLP is being terribly unreasonable, said Hillary. And as for Father, the gargoyle sighed.
I was talking about me. What's going to happen to me when you're gone? Who will read me Treasure Island? What if your parents host noble guests in this room? What if the guests don't want to talk to me? Or what if there are no guests at all ever again and I'll get cobwebs in my ears? Oh, Hillary, said the gargoyle, what if I'm renovated?
The gargoyle looked so earnest that Hillary could tell he was really concerned. "You mustn't worry," she said. "I'll come home and visit you between terms. I won't let anything bad happen to you. You know I'd take you with me if I could." The gargoyle wrinkled his nose and let out a noise halfway between a sneeze and a landslide.
"I don't think I'd enjoy that," he said. "The pirates in Treasure Island didn't have to go to finishing school, did they?"
"No," said Hillary. "They most certainly didn't."
"Then I'm not interested," said the gargoyle. "And if you really want to be a pirate, you shouldn't go either.